Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 164. The second full paragraph, which begins, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only." Reading the 12 steps today is Lois P. Reading the 12 traditions is Reggie O. And reading the text are Shelley E., Elaine B., and Leslie M. Our newcomer greeter today is Nadia B., and making announcements towards the end of the meeting will be Robin P. And thank you to Elaine for recording us as well. The share ID for yesterday, Tuesday's 10 a.m. meeting, is 14,855 or 14855. And this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, the code is 14,863 or 14863. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Lois?
Yes, good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., very happily recovered in New York. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to food compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Lois P., for your service. Reggie O., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Thank you, Kathy K. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Reggio, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute.
That time, I think, fast.
In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 164, the second full paragraph. And I will ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, my fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, crossing the mighty Mac right now from up into northern Michigan. And here's our paragraph. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. And I remember the first time I read this with my sponsor. I was 59 and new to OA, and had never been in a 12-step program. And as I saw this last page approaching, I remember thinking, oh no, I know what's next. The little bird's going to be kicked out of the nest, and I'm going to have to move on and do what she's done for me. And I felt like that Donnie chick, like I still, although it was recovered, I felt like, oh gosh, the prospect of carrying the message in particular, and in particular sponsoring, was scary. But you know, the Big Book prepares us for that, and this is also a powerful paragraph. It tells us in the beginning, the book is suggestive only. So that sends me on my way, you know, not to be a bull in a china cabinet, but, you know, just to handle this lightly, to handle it in a suggestive way. And that kind of set the tone for me. And the other thing I would say is, as it starts, our book is meant to be suggestive only. It ends, this is the great fact. So while it's suggestive, it is also a great fact for all of us. So it gives me a little equilibrium there as I go along on my way. And thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thanks so much for getting us started, Shelley. Okay, I'm going to take names now of people who want to share, but first I want to say that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So with that, who would like to share today?
Irene B.
Irene B.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Deanna M.
Deanna
Shlomo.
M. Sorry, I didn't. 1 second, I didn't hear who spoke up after Deanna M.
Jane B.
Shlomo Kana B.
Jane B. And
yeah.
who came after Jane?
Shlomi
Kana. Okay.
Rella R.
Bella R.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. We'll stop there. Good list. So I have Eileen B., Deb E., Deanna N., Jane B., Shlomi Kana, Stella R. and Bruce E. And I'm sorry if I got your name incorrectly. You can correct me when you are invited to speak. So let's begin with Eileen B. Eileen?
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Eileen B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love this paragraph, and I'm glad that we use it in Vision for You to close all of our meetings because it's full of hope. And I know that when I first came to Vision, what really stood out to me, that it said, we only know a little. That really stood out to me because this book was written almost 100 years ago, and a lot of knowledge has developed over the last 100 years. And I think that Bill Wilson was full of humility, understanding that this was just the tip of the iceberg, that there was much more to be known. But, you know, this is like a tremendous, amazing, powerful beginning to, you know, to get the ball rolling. But what humility for him to understand that this is just a little. And then somebody in the earlier meeting talked about something about some letter that he wrote about emotional sobriety. And in another program yesterday in a meeting, I read something where Bill Wilson had written a letter to a friend speaking about emotional sobriety and that perhaps we will develop a neurotic anonymous. He understood that the problem of the mind was profound and that we only knew a little. And when I went 4 outpatient treatment centers for me, over 35 therapists, they told me I needed to get in touch with my feelings. They told me that I had repressed memories that perhaps I needed to address, but they didn't tell me how. I don't think they knew how 35 years ago. And other than hypnosis, and that's just the one avenue I didn't pursue because there was nobody in Baton Rouge that I knew of that did that. And they told me that my bulimia was only a symptom of the problem, that the root of the problem was something different, that the bulimia was only a symptom of the problem, that I had to get to the root of the problem. And some people told me that my problem was spiritual in nature. Oh, already? Okay, then I have to pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Eileen B. Deb E., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California. I love how the big book says, like, several times, you know, this is just a suggestion. You know, this, our book is meant to be suggestive only. At the beginning of the 12th step, this is our 12th suggestion. But then at the same time, there are so many musts. And for me, I look at it as, you know, they're kind of easing me in. Like, my ego has proved to be very strong over the years, and I don't want to be told what to do. And so hearing suggestion kind of eases me in. It's like, okay, maybe I'll listen if it's just a suggestion. But I really realized very quickly that, you know, the great fact for me is that I need to see these all as musts, that this is the only way for me to recover by following the directions in these book, in this book. And I like how this paragraph really sums up well what we need to do. It's like, you know, connect with my higher power, clean house, help others, and continue to do so. Never let up on helping others and seeking out how I can do my higher power's will. And this, the answers will come, makes me think of what we say often in programs, more will be revealed. I need to be patient. I often just want the answers to come so quickly. But I need to relax, and I need to be open to the direction that I can receive from my higher power, because it's always there, and the answers always come. And the speed at which I get them, I find for myself, is a direct result of how relaxed I am and how open I am to just surrendering to my higher power and really knowing that my higher power is the one who's in charge, not me. And all I need to do is follow that direction. And I like this, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got, right? I started sponsoring really quite early compared to a lot of people I know. It was within the first 9 months of program, and I've never stopped. I've always had sponsees, and it just feels like such a natural thing to me. But I can only sponsor if I'm doing the work myself and if I'm continuously on a daily basis doing this work. And so I love how that, you know, that cycle just continues, right? It's like, I need to work on myself. I need to help others. And though that person works on themselves, and they can help others. And it's just such a beautiful community that we have in OA, where we're all just eager to help each other, and that we're able to do that after so many years of, you know, feeling like I wasn't good enough and feeling like I maybe didn't have that much to offer, to have this great important thing that I can pass on to others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Deb E. Deanna N., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Deanna M., and I'm from California. I'm a newcomer. I've been in OA for couple weeks, maybe a month. So this is all kind of new to me. I like the fact in the reading that it does say it's a suggestion, because I'm in the middle of just trying to figure out, like, logistically how to kind of do recovery, and I'm trying to figure out where resistance is versus where just life is. And so, because I have two small children, so I do like the fact that Deb said this eases you in, because I can be a perfectionist, and so if I don't meet all the 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, then I can be hard on myself, which can kind of sabotage whatever I'm trying to do. So I appreciate all your shares, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Deanna, and I hope you'll keep coming back. Jane B., please share with us.
Hi, thanks, Kathy. I think it's the first time sharing on this meeting, but I've been around a few decades. I was reading this and sharing with my sponsor this morning about it because I had listened part of the first meeting, and I was, the very end, I was taken. It said, this is the great fact for us. And it was interesting because I saw it capitalized. I said, why would they do that? Great fact. Wait, they're telling us, they're suggesting that this is a program that, you know, that you would want, but we're not telling you you have to do it. We're suggesting that if you want to get well and you don't want to be sick anymore, here's what we can present to you. And then they're saying, but we know this is the great fact for us. We're saying it like, I can testify to you, this is working. I can prove it. I can show it. I know it because I have a relationship with a higher power that I can honestly say is working in my life every day. Why? Because my house is in order. I'm not trying to change you. And the answers will come. I never thought of it that way, that they're really saying, you do it our way, but you're not, it's not mandatory, but this is a fact for us. We can tell you for a fact, because we can describe our what we were like and what we are now like, and what we can transmit to you is recovery. Not our recovery, the message of recovery, not my recovery, I should say. It is the message of recovery in the big book. So we make sure that we keep it our eyes on our own plate, but we work our own recovery, and that the great fact is that it does work. And, you know, you'll have to make that decision. So it leaves it up to that. If the alcoholic is reading this book is going, I don't know, I don't want to be anyone to shove this down my throat. I want to make a decision, but I want to be drawn to this. I want something to be transmitted that I can't produce it myself. It's such an attractive paragraph, and I never really saw it till the end of the meeting. A great fact. Wow. I don't know if that means anything, but for me, it's just kind of, it was like a little light bulb moment. Like, wow, these alcoholics really had something to offer us. And it transmits in the reading and the words in this paragraph, for me at least, you know. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Jane B. Shelly Hanna, please share with us.
Yeah, hi. This is Shlomi Tchana. Thank you so much. To the moderator, to the timekeeper, to every single person on this meeting. I'm so grateful to all of you. And I have a little bit of a different take on this second to last paragraph in our cycle that we read. I hadn't been on the meeting in a little while, and when I heard that we were reading this paragraph, my first thought was, wow, what an accomplishment. We have spent months and months going through this book, one word at a time, one paragraph at a time, one line at a time, every single day, trudging the road to happy destiny. And it makes me reflect on the progress that we've made, and it kind of parallels my own reflection of program. You know, that as we are finishing this cycle, and God willing, we'll be starting in a couple days, step one again, it makes me think of our accomplishments, you know, just makes me think of accomplishments in terms of recovery, that we take this program one day at a time. You know, as it says in the big book, you know, and I think, I don't remember what step it is, but it says in the big book that this is a daily reprieve and that these are our daily practices. It uses the word daily several times, you know? And, you know, this is a one day at a time program and we really focus on today, but sometimes it also is nice to just kind of look back and to look to see how far we have actually trudged that road to happy destiny. You know, when you're going uphill and you're taking one step at a time, it can seem, you know, forever, but then all of a sudden you turn and you look back and you see how high you've come. And, you know, I think that it's a good thing to look at you know, not just trudging this road together in terms of the reading, but also just in terms of all of the work and the cumulative effect of that. The other thing that I would like to comment on is that, you know, the one thing that this book really emphasizes above and beyond everything else is God. And it seems to me that that is really the central purpose of this book, is to help us have a spiritual awakening and to be able to align ourselves with God, because it is God who keeps us abstinent, recovered, and helps us put one foot in front of the other every single day. You know, there is no way, you know, that we can work this program by ourselves. You know, as it says in the big book, that the alcoholic, in our case, the compulsive overeater, is an example of self will run riot. And
it's time.
Yeah. Okay, perfect timing. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Shlomi Khanna, for your share. Stella R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Rella. Right, yes, it's Rella R. Thank you for your service. Rella R., recovering compulsive overeater, chiming in here to claim my seat. I'm feeling very grateful this morning for the fact that I can start my day with some of my step 11 routines, which has been so, so helpful in what I call screwing my head on, right? And getting my perspective, connecting me to my higher power, and giving me hope. It's a hopeful program, and I'm very appreciative of those words. These are suggestions only. As I've heard other people share, I'm prickly about being told what to do. And being told that these are suggestions, but then also being told that these facts are powerful facts that work, are very persuasive for me. But yet make me feel, it gives me the choice. It gives me back my choice. And that's, I believe that's a gift that God gave me, but also urging me to choose wisely. So it's a good psychological message for me. And yeah. So sitting and writing out my gratitudes, writing out the things I'm powerless over every morning, writing out, I've started adding a 10-step inventory every morning, and as often, as much as I can. I don't do this perfectly, but helps me bring up the resentments that always simmer below the surface. There's always something. I mean, life is life and people, you know, there are interactions with people, and there's always something simmering. So it's so helpful to bring that up and put it out, either verbally or on, you know, or I write it out and bring it to my consciousness and then get rid of it and ask God to help me, because only that's the only way it's going to work. So thank you all for listening, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Rella R. Bruce E., please share with us.
Yeah, it's Bruce E. I'm in Florida. Glad to be on the call today. Thanks for everybody that's serving and on the call. The suggestive part of it, she starts right out with here. I think he's told us, too, that previously that the 12 steps are only suggestive. So he's not trying to push anything down our throats here. He's just making these suggestions. Probably means if we don't do them, maybe we won't do as well in the program. Maybe that's what he's hinting towards here. But, man, when somebody tells me what to do, I mean, if I haven't asked for advice, I really have a rough time with that. You know, listen to that most of my life from my brother and my dad telling me what to do, and I just was unable to do any of it, you know, like get good, better grades, do this, do that. Just couldn't do it. And maybe if they had said, hey, let me make some suggestions here, it might have been better. But so I need to remember to let other people know that I'm working with that. Here's a suggestion. You know, here's what I suggest. Maybe this will work for you. It worked for me. So, God will constantly, scrolls more to us. We realize we know only a little. I don't know a whole lot. I think I know a lot. My ego tells me I know everything. And I start thinking I know everything. And that's a major character defect. Yeah, so I'm trying to surrender that ego every day. I keep forgetting. Then during the day, even if I surrender it in the morning, during the day, it comes back. It just comes back all the time. Ego. Thinking I know everything. No, I only know a little. It's what it says here. Ask him what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. Well, I'm pretty sick myself. But if I go out and I try to help somebody else that's sick, it makes me a little less sick. It helps me when I help other people. And, you know, you can't keep it. I'm recovered, so I can't keep it unless I give it away. And I can't sell from an empty shelf either. Because it says your answers will come if your own house is in order. Yeah, I got to keep my own, you know, I got to clean up my own side of the street, right? I got to do what I got to do with my own care. I got to get work on releasing my own character defects so my house is in order so I can help other people. And that's what it is. I can't sell from an empty shelf, right? So I think that's fine, and thank you, everybody, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Brucey, for your share. Okay, so for those of you who would like to share, we are reflecting on the second full paragraph on page 164, and if you haven't shared in the last 2 or 3 days, please share with us. Who would like to share?
Elaine
Laura
B.
R.
Okay, Elaine B. And
Alice A.
Was it Barbara I heard after Elaine?
Laura R.
Oh, Laura R. Okay.
Kathy Z.
Kathy
L. Alice A.
Okay, one
Kathy
second.
Kathy Z.
I got Kathy and I got Penny L. C. And then Alice, who was that?
Alice A.
A. Thank you, Alice. I think we might have time for one more person. Who else?
Reva G.
Okay, Reva.
In Brooklyn.
Got it. So we have Elaine B., Laura R., Kathy Z., Penny L.C., Alice A., and Reva G. Please go ahead, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for your sweet service. And this is Elaine B. I'm gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. And I remember the day wandering into an OA meeting and meeting somebody who had become my sponsor and who knew the life that this would begin. You know, it says, Oh, what a great paragraph. I love that we use it as the closing over and over and over again. So God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation. The answers will come if your own house is in order. So this is a relationship. I have a relationship with sponsors in this program. I have a relationship with fellows in this program. And that's really important, especially it says, you know, share, you know, share with the person who still suffered, to tell other people our challenges and to do this work. It's a community. But the main relationship that we need to make sure is right is our relationship with God. Because it says that we have a spiritual malady, and when our spiritual malady is straightened up, we straighten up mentally and physically. But, and we enjoy a daily reprieve based on the maintenance and growth of our fit spiritual condition. And so this is what we need to do. And as we do that, God constantly discloses more and more to us. The more we ask, the more we gain. And the more times we go through this book, and the more times we go through these steps, and the more times we go to God, and the more times we share ourselves with others, the greater our recovery is, the greater our experience with life is, and we find that we can trust and rely on this power greater than ourselves. I remember the second Vision for You meeting I heard. We used to get our ease and comfort from God, and that's from food, and now we get it from God. And that just sounded really good to me. The thing is that I need something I could rely on. And Ben and Jerry were always sweet, and they never said no. There was plenty of M&Ms to keep me happy for a time, and then a shorter time, and then it seemed no time at all. But this power greater than myself, you know, there's a paragraph in the family afterwards, and this is what it says on the top of page 129. Father feels he's struck something better than gold. For a time, he may have the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless lode, which will pay dividends only if he minds it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. It is endless what God has given me, and there's no greater delight than giving it away. And so thanks for the opportunity to do so. I pass.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for your share. Laura R., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. And this, thank you, everyone who's shared before me. Wow, I've learned so much today, and I'm just so grateful to be walking this path with everybody. It's so amazing to think, you know, 200, 300, 400 people are really striving to find a relationship with higher power and trying to tap into, you know, just what's blocking us from power and how to help one another. And our hands are reaching out to each other to help each other get closer to God. I mean, it's just, it blows me away. The energy is unbelievable. And I just love that God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And, you know, oh man, getting through the steps and doing 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis and having people that help me do that. You know, I remember one time I used to work in the field of addiction a long time ago and seeing therapists and psychiatrists and interventionists and stuff like that. And this one gentleman, he's a therapist in LA, talked about his army that he had around him of people like spiritual advisors. And I feel like I have that, you know, I have accountability, I have a sponsor, and I have other women who I call on a daily basis to hold me accountable to this deal. And also to hold me accountable to meditation and my 10 steps, my night reviews. Like, it's just, it's amazing. And doing a nightly review, like for me every night. And then what I do is I take that in the morning to meditation. Things that are, you know, maybe a little wonky. Do I need to do a 10 step? But I take it to meditation. Is there any fear there? And I get quiet with God and I ask him, and I, you know, the person just shared before me, he discloses more to me if I continue to seek him. And it is awesome. And doing that on a consistent basis over and over and over again, it's, you know, I think in the 12 and 12, it says you do 10 and 11 prayer, meditation, and inventory on a daily basis, unshakable foundation for life. Unshakable foundation. You know, I wanted was an unshakable foundation. My foundation has always been rocky and turbulent. And, you know, and I was thinking this morning, I looked up emotional sobriety, or I saw a definition for it. And it's just, you know, thinking about, you know, God's will for my life, or, you know, how do I rely on God? And my whole life was how to rely on self, because I didn't realize anything about how to rely on God. You know, I didn't realize that was my goal. But my whole life was like, I always looked to the world for, you know, what I was supposed to look like and what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to act and how I was supposed to be. And I was so insecure. And what's so beautiful is, you know, instead of going to the world now, this book teaches me how to go to God and to go within and to, you know, search for things like love and grace and humility and, you know, which is hard for me to do. I'm, you know, just trying to like rewire my head from where I was always going towards the world, now going towards God. It's going to take some time to change. But again, in the book, it says it's not an overnight matter and it continues for a lifetime. So I just love the answers will come. They will come, you know, and that's why it's been 16 years in recovery, 5 months abstinent, you know, back to back in this program. And I have never stopped seeking. I've never stopped seeking because I've never been free. And that's all I want is freedom, you know, freedom from the bondage that's in between my ears. And because of the people in this program, because of this book, because of higher power, because of the work, like, it's just, it's happening, you know, and I love it. This is the great fact for us. The great fact is it does come, you know, that's the miracle. So thank you. Thanks, Kathy. And with that, I'll pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Laura R. Kathy Z, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning. I love the fellow travelers quote. It's just awesome because we're all in this together. And this program, the big book, the 12 steps, was the best suggestion I've ever had. I've always been a woman of faith, and it's been suggested many times in the past, you know, if you just do this, you know, spend time in this word. And I used to think, well, yes, you know, just this, doing this, spending time in this word is going to transform me. But the problem is that I'm a food addict, and I'm not really good at self-control. And in order to do that, it would need to be a daily practice, and it would just be with me, and I would have to trust myself to do it, and again, trust myself to do it. And so I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And then the suggestion of doing a 12-step program and being a part of OA, and the suggestion of picking up the phone and dialing in Division completely changed my life. So I had the component of this wonderful book and this path that was given to me alongside a faith that I've had for most of my life, but a completely different perspective in turning everything over and trusting that God has the power in my life to transform when I give it to him. And we have this fellowship that is amazing that, you know, yeah, it takes self-control to be able to do something every day, to stick to something every day. But when I called in Divisions and started listening, I wanted to do it every day because the strength and hope and experience of everyone on the line was just so beautiful and healing, and it just gave me so much hope. So I had that on top of my faith practices, on top of meditations that I was doing, and then pretty soon it's like, wow, you know, I need more. I need fellowship. I need 12 steps. I need a sponsor. And then with all of those things on top of this beautiful relationship with God that is being built and revealed every single day in my life, it's happening. It's working. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's hopeful. I'm working in my ninth step right now and can't believe it. And God is revealing to me every day more and more. And it's really, really hard. It's been kind of scary. But what's been revealed to me is hope and the hope of recovery and transformation and the hope that I can share this with other people when God feels that it's ready. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Kathy Z. Penny LC, please share with us.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you for your service and for all the team that come together to bring this meeting to all of us. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And another share earlier pointed out the line about the great fact. That is something I've always wondered about whenever we've read this paragraph, the fact that this is the great fact for us. What is the great fact? Well, the line before says, you can't, you know, see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. So the great fact, as far as I think I'm interpreting it, is that my relationship with him creates amazing things in my life and to those around me. And that is a great fact for me, because it has become a fact. It has become my reality, whereas it used to just be my hope, my dream, my wish that I could live differently. Live abstinently, live soberly, live in a recovered state of mind and body. And my higher power has brought that all to me through this work. And I can't help but think that because it's capitalized, that somehow that is yet again another point to point to our higher powers. I believe my higher power is the great fact for me, the great truth, the great living creator, the great supreme being or entity or higher power that is there for me to show me the way to all of this truth that lies in these first 164 pages. And it's been a journey, and it continues to be a journey every day. But I'm so grateful to be traveling it and to be able to be blessed to have gained some new awareness, a new way of life, a spiritual way of life, to make the spiritual progress and to be able to pass it on, that spiritual hope, to others. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Penny LC. Alice A., we have only 2 minutes left, so please keep your share to 2 minutes. And I'm sorry, Reva, we will not get to hear your share today. Please come back. Go ahead, Alice.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Alice A. in Alabama, a newly recovered compulsive eater. There's several sentences in this paragraph that just really hit me, and the answer will come if your own house is in order. You can't transmit something you don't have. See to it that your relationship with him is right. The first time I worked the steps, my house was not in order. I wanted to be 12 and done, work the steps and be cured. I didn't want to make phone calls, and I sure didn't feel I could sponsor someone else. First of all, you're not cured, and if you don't carry the message, you won't stay recovered. I have just finished working the steps for the second time and now feel my house is in better order, and I'm ready to carry the message to other compulsive eaters. Yes, there's some trepidation if this is something new, but my sponsor reminded me. I am to be a guide for working through the 12 steps. If someone recovers, that's between them and their higher power. I'm there to be the guide. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Alice A. And thank you, everyone who has shared today. We are going to now close with the reading from the Big Book, part of which we studied today on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. Elaine B., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kathy. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.